A Ceiling of Stars to Guide Me Home to You by Her Madness Mac. It all starts because Izuku's procrastinating. There's no reason for him to linger in the convenience store any longer, but he continues to meander with the lazy gait this Saturday afternoon demands. The protein drink he came in for is already clenched in one hand, condensation dripping down the side. A matcha energy drink he definitely doesn't need, but is curious enough to try, is secured in the other. Instead of hurrying back to his homework, Izuku lets himself gravitate to the card displays set up on the aisle's end cap. Sometimes, stores like this discount old card packs to ridiculously cheap prices. When that happens, he doesn't feel as guilty treating himself to a couple. The odds that they'll contain any of the five he still needs to complete his All Might collection are infinitesimally small, and that really only pertains to two. Because the others were limited edition prints that either weren't sold in sets, or weren't printed in Japan. But other heroes have cool cards he wouldn't mind adding to his collection. If nothing else, looking at different art styles is fun. All the visible packs are full price, unfortunately. One metal hook has fallen off the pegboard it was secured to, spilling dozens of sets onto the shelf beneath. Izuku tucks his energy drink into the crook of his elbow so he has a free hand to put it back in place. None of them are marked down. After hanging the 17th pack, Izuku has pretty much given up hope, but he persists, uncomfortable with the idea of leaving a task uncompleted now that he's started.
There.
He slides the last set home and steps back, partly to admire his handiwork, but mostly to ensure he hasn't missed any. And, yep, sure enough, there is a familiar holographic shine around the corner. As he's bending to gather the discarded items, he spots them. He's not sure why they catch his attention. There's nothing particularly special about them, and their aged, cracked bag suggests he wouldn't be the first to overlook them either. But the plastic stars tickle something deep in his brain, so he squats down for a closer look. One of the staples holding the label in place rips free as he picks it up. Only Izuku's quick reaction time saves the tiny stars from scattering across the linoleum tiles like a discount galaxy. They're an off-white color, tinged with faint traces of green like most things manufactured to glow are, and the printed description confirms his suspicions. Superstars, the creased card stock boasts. 200 glow-in-the-dark stars, plus one bonus moon.
Uraraka would love these,
Izuku murmurs with a smile, and suddenly he knows exactly why this beat-up bag of sealing adhesives caught his attention. It's not that he's thinking about her constantly, because that would be creepy, but Izuku's forced to admit that Ochako Uraraka crosses his mind at least once a day. Maybe two. Okay, maybe a couple more than that, but not in a weird way. She's not the focus of his thoughts, but he's very aware of her. They're friends. As far as he can gather from Ashido, they're probably best friends. But saying that feels presumptuous, because it's not like they've talked about it. And just because she's his best friend doesn't mean he's her best friend. Besides, she hangs out with Asui almost as much as she does him, and he can't talk about girl stuff like she can. So Asui probably has him beat there. The thought makes him sadder than he has any right to. It's amazing that she's his friend at all. He shouldn't get hung up on whether or not he gets to be her best friend. If he absolutely needs a special title, Izuku can call her his first friend. Well, okay, technically, his first friend was Kacha, but they're more rivals than friends. So maybe he can call her his first real friend? Yeah, Ochako Uraraka is his first real friend. That's not something anyone can take away from him. The satisfaction he feels quickly fades, and Izuku groans, letting his head fall onto the sweaty lid of his protein drink. No one can steal first real friend from him, but it's also kind of pathetic. It feels clingy, which brings him back to the star dilemma. He'd really like to get them for her. They'd go great with a constellation poster in her room, and he thinks they'd make her smile. But he's not sure getting them from him would make her smile. Because random gifts from friends are weird, right? The last thing he wants to do is make her uncomfortable.
Sir, I was thinking about closing up the shop for a late lunch, so if you're ready, I could... Oh, you picked up the cards.
Izuku squeaks, surprised by the shopkeeper's sudden appearance. His energy drink tumbles to the ground, but he manages to keep hold of the bag.
Yes, let me just, grab this...
His face is bright red as he chases the runaway can down the aisle. Clumsy. He has to pay better attention to his surroundings.
Sorry for keeping you waiting.
Don't worry about it.
The clerk insists, scooping up the two foil packs Izuku came over for in the first place.
I didn't realize you were picking these up. You actually saved me time.
He laughs. His brows narrow slightly in thought before continuing.
You want one of these packs? My treat for letting me rush you out of here.
Oh, thanks, but, I was actually just looking for All Might packs.
We don't have any, unfortunately. Can't keep anything All Might branded in stock these days.
The clerk looks disheartened until he spots the stars.
Well, what about those?
You don't have to do that!
Izuku protests.
I'm not even sure I want it.
I insist.
The clerk skillfully herds him towards the register.
They've been on the shelf forever, anyway.
His drinks are run up and in a plastic bag with the stars before he can stammer out another word.
Was just about to mark them down again, believe it or not. Really, you're doing me a favor.
Well, okay.
Short of reaching over the counter and unbagging the stars himself, there's not much he can do anyway. The card reader beeps as Izuku pays, and he punches in his pin quickly.
Thank you, then.
Thank you.
The shopkeeper corrects, handing over his receipt and purchases.
Have a nice afternoon.
The door barely shuts behind him before Izuku hears the deadbolt twist home. He sighs, trying to disperse the anxious energy that built up in the last few minutes. It works better on the second attempt. His shoulders actually relax enough to come down from their place at his ears. Still, he's left with a question. Several, actually. But they boil down to this.
What now?
Various voices call out greetings as Izuku walks into the dorms late one night. The couches have been rearranged yet again, now centered around the TV. Most of the class sprawls over the cushions, laughing and cheering about something. Sato looks up as Izuku's curiosity overrides his rumbling stomach, and wordlessly scoots over to open up more cushion space. It takes longer than it should for Izuku to realize that Sato is offering him a seat. 1A has been nothing but accepting, yet exchanges like this continue to off-balance him. Though he hadn't planned to stick around long, Izuku finds himself swept up in the class's antics. Someone has hooked up their gaming console again, and the cartoon chefs from Overcooked zoom around the screen. Those without controllers shout contradictory advice to the players, only adding to the overall chaos. Eventually, two chimes cut through the din to announce the end of the round. The group groans and laughs as three blank stars fill the screen. Failed round. There is a sudden flurry of movement as people trade places. Saro gives up his couch cushion and controller to Mina, grumbling about moving platforms as he does. Kaminari throws himself dramatically across Jiro's lap, who pushes him mercilessly to the floor.
Classic 1A.
Izuku thinks, smiling. Everyone looks like they're having fun, but one familiar face is missing from the festivities. Odd. Uraraka loves game nights.
Have you eaten, Midoriya?
Asui asks, appearing seemingly out of nowhere. She hands her controller to an enthusiastic Sato without taking her eyes off him.
We set aside food for everyone who missed dinner.
The fuzzy, off-balance feeling returns with vengeance.
No, I, haven't, actually.
He manages around the sudden tightness in his throat.
Thanks, Asui. I really appreciate it.
Sue you!
She reminds him, leading the way into the kitchen. There's a stack of individually labeled Tupperware on one of the fridge shelves. Clearly, he's not the only one who missed dinner. But while he's not surprised to see Todoroki clearly printed on one of the containers, the Tupperware, labeled Uraraka, surprises him. Not that her schedule isn't as packed as the rest of them, but Uraraka's parents live too far away for an impromptu visit, and she rarely leaves campus for dinner. It's weird. just weird enough that he can't quite put it out of his mind. Not even when Asui hands him the meal his classmates specifically set aside for him. Perhaps she can tell his heart's not in the thanks, he murmurs, because she tilts her head at him, silently prompting him to speak. Maybe he's reading too much into it. Regardless, he takes the opportunity to ask if maybe Uraraka is at Ryuku's agency tonight. But Asui purses her lips.
She's in her room. I tried to get her to come down, but she said she was having a mochi dinner tonight.
That doesn't bode well. Mochi might be her favorite, but Ochako never misses dinner if she can help it. She claims food tastes better in the company of good friends, and only ever retreats to her room to study. He mirrors Asui's concerned expression, mulling over his options. Every fiber of his being wants to do something for her. Wants to help. But the sports festival is burned into his memory. Forcing Ochako to wear a fake smile for him doesn't help anyone. Especially not her.
Would it be pushy for me to go check on her, you think?
He finally asks. As her best friend, Asui has the best chance to help him avoid crossing any lines. His classmate considers him quietly. Izuku struggles not to fidget, feeling strangely vulnerable under her inscrutable gaze.
I don't think it would hurt to check, Ribbit,
she says after a beat.
If Ochako wants to be left alone, she'll tell you.
Which is how he ends up waiting outside Uraraka's door at 8:45, holding snacks and the bag of stars that's lived in the bottom of his backpack for the past week. Since it's Friday, curfew is 11 instead of 10, but it still feels late to ask to hang out. He didn't even text her to let her know he was coming. What if she wanted to go to bed early? What if she fell asleep, and he just woke her up by knocking? The door swings open before Izuku can psych himself out any further.
Deku?
Well, she's not asleep, at least. The sweatpants and loose tee suggest she might have been on her way, though. All the doubts about his plan come crashing back at once. Izuku clutches everything tight to his chest, about to apologize and beat a hasty retreat, when he notices her eyes. Her nose. They're red. Not terribly. Just tinged. Enough for him to know she's cried within the last hour or so. His heart clenches, and the apology sticks in his throat. Izuku's not scared of tears. That would be extremely hypocritical. And he acknowledges that sometimes the world feels more manageable after a good cry. But he hates the idea of Uraraka sad and alone in her room. No backing out now.
Uraraka, hey!
She tilts her head, possibly wondering why he sounds surprised when he's the one who knocked on her door. But Izuku refuses to let himself get stuck over analyzing his words right now.
If you weren't doing anything, I thought maybe we could, hang out?
Uraraka blinks. Taken aback, but that isn't an outright no. So he quickly adds,
I brought some decaf tea, because drinking caffeine this late is probably a bad idea when we don't have to stay up late doing homework or anything, and some glow-in-the-dark stars?
This catches Uraraka's attention. She drops her gaze to the battered bag, eyebrows pinched together, then jerks her face back up to look directly into his eyes. Her voice is tremulous when she asks,
You got me glow-in-the-dark stars?
Oh man. Is she upset because she thinks he bought them? That's the last thing he wants her focusing on.
It's not really that simple.
He hedges. Not sure how to allay her fears without making it seem like he's trying to saddle her with his old junk.
I didn't buy them or anything, but yes?
Even if he didn't pay for them, he did pick them out with her in mind.
Technically?
Uraraka's mouth twitches into a smile. It's a small one, barely a quirk of her lips. But it's real, not fake. For this one second, this small moment, he's managed to make her happy.
Why don't I feel like there's a story hidden behind that technically?
She teases. Izuku tisks, while shaking his head slowly.
Now that would be telling.
He finishes with an apologetic shrug. His mock seriousness is rewarded when Uraraka snorts, loudly and suddenly, before clapping a hand over her mouth. Izuku laughs, unable to keep a straight face any longer, and only laughs harder when she reaches four fingers out to push him playfully in the shoulder. Her eyes sparkle with mirth as she steps aside to invite him in.
You dark.
From anyone else, the phrase would have caused him pause, made him duck his head and run a hand self-consciously through his hair. But this is Uraraka. She flipped the nickname actually meant to hurt him on its head. She reinvented its meaning. Reinvented him. And Izuku knows she meant this in much the same way. So he follows after Uraraka easily, towing his slippers off inside her door with a comfort born of familiarity and trust. Uraraka settles herself in her usual spot on her yellow cushion.
So how do these work? Do we have to charge them?
Deku sets the drinks down on the table, nudging the hibiscus tea her way, before sitting down opposite her and examining the label. The kanji has worn off the cardstock in a couple places, but he can just make out
5 to 10 minutes under direct light.
Oh, good. I thought we were going to have to wait till tomorrow.
She gets up to grab the lamp from her desk and plugs it into the extension cord that usually powers her fan.
If we spread them out on the table and use this, think that'll work?
Izuku nods, ripping the last remaining staple out the bag and dumping the stars on the table.
Sure.
They work quietly together, flipping the plastic over so the adhesive portion rests on the table. 200 stars is a lot, it turns out, and Izuku wonders if age was truly the only reason that bag was cracking down the seams. Fitting all the pieces onto the surface so they all get light is a challenge. Izuku makes a pattern that utilizes the empty spaces between the larger stars to fit the fingernail-sized ones. On the other side of the table, Uraraka chooses a different approach. It doesn't look like the most space-efficient solution to their problem, but she looks happy enough that Izuku doesn't even care. She hums as she pushes the stars around the table with one finger. Her other hand rests in a fist against her cheek, smushing the skin around it as she leans on it.
Wait.
It's hard to tell from this angle, but...
Is that the Big Dipper?
Ursa Major.
Uraraka corrects, motioning to more stars that flow from the handle of the Big Dipper.
But yeah, good eye.
With that in mind, Izuku re-examines the clusters of stars on Uraraka's side of the table. He's never been great at astronomy, but there's a certain order to the chaos spilling from her fingertips. Too ordered to be completely random.
Are those all constellations?
Yep. I got Capricornus, Andromeda, Cancer.
Uraraka points out each constellation in turn, drawing the shape of each in the air above as she goes. She tweaks one star out of alignment from a set of three.
And there's Sagitta.
That's amazing.
He couldn't name all those constellations, let alone recreate them from memory.
So do you think you like space because of 13 then? Or is it the other way around?
Her finger stills.
Oh.
Uraraka wrinkles her nose as she thinks.
I mean, I was probably drawn to 13 because of their costume at first. I thought the astronaut theme was really cool.
Her cheeks go slightly red at the ambition.
But just at first. And then I found out that they're one of, like, 30 heroes get a doctorate. And they're always so nice in interviews. And they hold pretty much every record for rescue heroics. So there are a lot of reasons.
In an almost embarrassed tone, she continues.
But yeah, I've supposed I've always loved space.
Well, it fits in perfectly with your quirk,
he says, shooting her a smile. The pile of stars is nearly gone, and Izuku works on incorporating the last few into his pattern. Uraraka laughs.
That's at least half the reason.
She agrees.
My dad always warned me I could end up alone in space if I wasn't careful. And at night he...
Her story cuts off. Izuku looks up from the table to find her moving a single star in listless circles, eyebrows narrowed, and lips a thin line. He drops his last piece carelessly, far more concerned with the sudden moon shift.
Veronica?
At night, we would lay in the grass, and my dad would teach me the constellations.
She's blinking rapidly, and there's a wobble to her voice, but she seems determined to get the words out.
That way, if I ever got lost in the skies, I could find my way home.
Tale finished, Uraraka scrubs the back of her hand over her eyes. She takes one final shuddering breath and summons a shaky smile.
Anyway, that looks like the last of them. Now, we just need to wait 10 minutes, right? Let me set a timer.
Izuku nods, not quite trusting himself to speak. Even if Uraraka changed the subject afterwards, sharing that story was clearly a vulnerable moment. A show of trust. So his response matters. Except Izuku doesn't know why it made her cry. And he's terrified of somehow making things worse.
I understand the space thing a bit better now,
he settles on eventually.
Those sound like great memories, Uraraka.
Uraraka smiles down at her unopened can of tea.
They are.
Neither of them breaks the silence that falls. He doesn't mind it, honestly. There's something peaceful about just existing in the same place as Uraraka. They savor their drinks, and Izuku's gaze flits about the room, reluctant to stare at Uraraka for any extended length of time. Not that that's a new problem, he realizes. Uraraka, her personality, her potential, her convictions, shine so strongly he often struggles to make direct eye contact. She's just amazing. Bright. When she smiles at him, his whole body feels warmer under her gaze, like her smile carries the strength of the sun itself. How did he ever get so lucky to have her as his friend? The timer goes off, shaking him from his musings. Uraraka drags her eyes down from the ceiling and rises to her feet. Her back pops as she arches in a quick stretch, and even with fresh tear tracks on her cheeks, the grin she sends him would put Ayama to shame. Dazzling.
Let's do this,
she says simply. It takes over an hour for them to finish. Peeling and placing all the stars on their own would require a significant time investment. But Uraraka isn't interested in random patterns. Celestial bodies spill from her fingertips, decorating Yue's plain white walls in an immersive map of the night sky. Izuku offers technical support of the endeavor, summoning references of constellations she's forgotten, or researching their proximity to each other. Slowly, the decorations in his hands diminish until the only piece left is the moon. Uraraka considers it momentarily, wedges it into one of the only free spaces left, then presses the pads of her fingers together.
Release!
Gravity restored, Uraraka drops from the ceiling into his waiting arms. Izuku swings her to her feet in a practiced motion, and it's only when her socks touch the ground at their location, her room, not a training ground, strikes him. Without professionalism to hide behind, their proximity is suddenly nerve-wracking. He steps back, blushing furiously. Uraraka suffers no such revelation, it seems. There's only unbridled excitement shining in her big brown eyes.
Let's test him out. You sit down.
She presses on his shoulder, pushing him down on the edge of her bed.
Sit. I'll get the lights.
Izuku tries not to feel awkward as he rests on Uraraka's comforter. He's allowed to sit here, he reminds himself. She insisted. The room descends into darkness as Uraraka flicks off the overhead light and lamp in turn, leaving only the slightest illumination from the balcony to navigate. He can make out little more than her silhouette as she races across the unlit space, and then she's knocking into his shoulder, pulling him back to lay on the bed with her so that their legs dangle over the edge.
Look, look!
She pats his arm energetically to get his attention, as if he could possibly focus on anything else.
Wow, Deku, this is amazing!
Even as he struggles to get his heart rate under control, Izuku can only agree. The plastic pieces Uraraka painstakingly placed are the strongest source of light in the room, bathing them in artificial starlight. It's transcendent. His world narrows to the warmth of Uraraka against his side, the quiet sound of their breathing, and the iridescent pinpricks that surround them. Nothing else matters in this moment. And Izuku allows himself to sink into Uraraka's mattress. He never wants this to end.
Hey, Deku?
Comes Uraraka's voice from the dark. She doesn't continue until he hums an acknowledgement.
Thank you for tonight. I've been kind of sad and homesick lately, and this really helped.
Izuku swallows hard against the sudden tears threatening to clog his throat. He's touched that she trusts him so readily. On the field, Deku knows he has Urabidi's steady support. But this is on a personal level. This is Ochako Uraraka telling Izuku Midoriya, the awkward, rambling fanboy, that she trusts him with her thoughts and feelings. Somehow it's the mundane faith that feels more intimate. The sudden urge to be connected to her in some way is overwhelming, and for once he doesn't try to fight it. Lets his hand reach out for hers across the bed instead.
Of course.
He squeezes her strong fingers in his scarred ones. Hundreds of neon green stars glow above their heads, manufactured constellations almost twinkling to his eyes. But Izuku wills himself to burn this moment into his mind forever.
Friends, right?
Best friends.